Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
And if it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hour number two, welcome back to the Character Concerns Draft Special here at 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero. Character Concerns, Julio Sanchez producing the operation.
Brought to you by Salvation Army's Down for the Challenge. Registered today to rappel down GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com.
So start rappelling.
I got a problem with heights, so I got mad respect for anybody that does that.
I think Cody did it, didn't he?
Cody did do it. He did.
Yeah,
I remember him talking about it.
He won that balloon, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. No. Balloon? No, I'm good. Like I said, I got a problem with heights. Big problem with heights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good, too. Chad Reuter, spelled Reuter, but it's Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R, does a great job on NFL.com. He puts out these great seven-round mock drafts, which is not easy to do. Obviously, Matt Miller.
I've tried to do some on PFF. It takes forever.
It takes forever just doing Chiefs
just a Chiefs only or even a whole first round. Now you're trying to do one for an entire seven round. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
257 picks. That's tough.
Well, Chad Reuter went out and he put two guys for each team that they need to be definitely looking at. Round one and round two picks. Picks number 31 overall for the Chiefs and pick number 63. He goes Ursary, the offensive tackle from Ruskin High School here in Kansas City for the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Which we've talked about.
Ursary quite a bit. And round two, Joshua Farmer, who showed up on our Character Concerns mock draft as well. So those two guys who he earmarked for the Chiefs, obviously their positions of need. Again, I don't go tackle in round one.
I don't either.
I like Ursary, but I wouldn't do it in round
one. If they were to get him day two, if they were to go in that, like, let's say they get him, preferably, I would prefer him at 66. If they can get him at 66, I'm down for it. Like, I'm all for 66. I like his athleticism. The length can be a problem, I think, but he's very athletic. And, you know, he sometimes can get beat off the edge like that. He has some issues with speed moves sometimes. So, like, that part does concern me. But as Thornton Nystrom brought up in the last hour, he doesn't get pushed back. Like, you're not pushing Ursary straight back. No, power rush is not going to work on him. But I do worry about the speed aspect.
And at least the Big Ten, he did not give up sacks.
Right. He didn't give up. Part of it was because P.J. Fleck, they were getting the ball out real quick in that offense. But, yeah, he wasn't giving up pressure like that.
Oh, by the way, on the flip side, in defensive line, Harmon had like 39 quarterback pressures last year, which is insane for a defensive tackle.
He's crazy side
of the line. But, in free agency, obviously Hunt's back, Juju's back. I know it looks like a lot of the same cast and characters come back. They did win 15 games last year and a couple playoff games as well. We're in the Super Bowl, but you got to put teams away. And, yes, you did win a lot of one-score games. Those could have gone each direction. You do expect a lot of these teams to be better. The Chiefs will probably play in Brazil or Ireland or England. They expanded.
I think Brazil
is kind of what's rumored.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, yeah.
But they expanded their marketing capabilities to England now in Ireland as well and Spain. It was Germany was one of the ones, the Chiefs, and obviously they've already played in Germany. But I think Clark Hunt's still on the the international committee as well. So
yeah,
expect the Chiefs. And now they want to do all Christmas Day games. So there's that out there as well.
Man, Christmas Day games every year.
But okay. One thing to do is when you look at the draft, and it's necessity. Brought up before, but Super Bowl 57, the championship parade, Brett Veach, the GM, holds up the Lombardi trophy and says, this is what a rebuild looks like. And he had to build a lot of his team through the draft. That was what was necessary for the Kansas City Chiefs, because when you pay your quarterback, which Mahomes was, took up more cap room than any winning quarterback of a Super Bowl has done. And there's been talk about, you know, capping the quarterback position. I don't think so, because I think they do a good job in the draft. I really do. I think they did 2022, they did a great job as far as the draft is concerned. But the Chiefs have been able to do that and pay their quarterback. Now, these other teams, like Dak Prescott got money, Joe Burrow got money, Josh Allen's got money twice, Lamar Jackson's got money, Trevor Lawrence has got money. But you know what they don't have? Rings. And the Chiefs have been doing this by getting the players throughout the draft that end up being like high commodities. Like Trey Smith is probably a first rounder if he's redrafted today. Creed Humphrey's a first rounder today. Nick Bolton's probably a first rounder today. So they're drafting all these guys that are turning into first round picks.
And it's one of the biggest things I think a lot of people underestimate about the importance of the draft is the contract situation. Like, this is you basically trying to acquire as many underpaid players as you possibly can. You want guys that are outperforming their contracts immediately, because especially if you hit on guys on like day two, day three, like what we saw from like Tyreek Hill in 2016 as a rookie, like that kind of production from a fifth round pick, like that's not something he far exceeded his value very, very quickly. We saw that with guys like Isaiah Pacheco, like Jalen Watson, their rookie year in 22, far outseeding outperforming their contracts because of where they were taken at. Like, that's really what you're looking for with all these guys on this team making over $10 million a year. Guys like Mahomes and Kelsey and whatnot making big time numbers on their Jones as well with their contracts. You have to balance that out with a bunch of young guys that are outperforming what you are paying them. And so that's part of the big reason. That's one of the biggest reason why the draft is so important for teams like the Chiefs. And you got to hit on it in a way that is more difficult, because you don't get all, like, you've brought this up many times. We know this. If you know about the draft, it's like these teams probably only have, what, 18 players graded with the first round pick. So when you're picking at,
in some
31,
drafts, it's been about 10 to 15.
Yeah, it depends.
So
essentially
you're drafting second round players.
It depends on the team. It depends on who they deem a fit for their team. So it's very much subjective based on the team. But every year you only have X amount of players that are worth a first round pick, or worth a pick in a certain round, and you have to find a way to maneuver around or find the gems in that draft that will be the most valuable where you take them at. So, like, that part of it is one of the more underrated aspects of it, and it's one of my favorite parts about it, is like weighing the value of a player based on where they were picked.
Yeah, I mean, it totally destroyed it in 22, because that's McDuffie and Karloftis. Sky Moore, no, but Brian Cook, Leo, Joshua Williams, Darian Kennard, not productive, but Jalen Watson, Pacheco, and Nazee Johnson were. This is how you build up your team. This is how you're able to, quote, rebuild really quickly, is through the draft. And they've taken their chances of wide receivers. Yes, Sky Moore hasn't panned out. You know what? Then the next year, he had a chance. They drafted one receiver. It was on Friday night in Kansas City, and they drafted Rashee Rice. Matter of fact, they only went offense one night, and that was Friday night of the draft. They went Rashee Rice, and they went Wanya Morris. Yeah. That was it. So Rice needed to pan out, and he did. For all intents and purposes, he was second in yards and catches for all rookie receivers. He's out of Zay Flowers and all that. It was him that was number two. Only number one was Puka, who was the third fifth-round selection of the Rams. Not like they went out and threw a dart out on him really quickly, but Puka ended up being unbelievable. Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, again, you get them five-year options because they were first-round picks. But you're going to have to pay him eventually. And speaking of Nick Skorton, the guy that we drafted in the first round in our first mock, his player comparison was George Karloftis.
I've seen George Karloftis, and I've seen Trey Hendrickson for him. because I think Lance Zierlein had Trey Hendrickson for
which
him.
That would be pie in the sky.
That, I mean, man, they got if he turned into Trey Hendrickson, whoo, I'm a big fan of Trey Hendrickson. I am
too, but the Bengals aren't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clearly. Yeah. Clearly they hate him. But like, yeah, I would love if they could find another a Trey Hendrickson type of guy. But yeah, like
take a Karloftis type of motor too. We had his head coach on from college.
And that's
he's
that's,
like, hey man, you guys are gonna like his motor. Cause I looked at Max Crosby and I said, does he have kind of like a Crosby type motor? He said, yeah, out of the Mac. You know, he coached at the Mac and at Purdue. His head coach did and said, Yeah, I know he played at Purdue and in the Big Ten, but I saw Max Crosby, you know, in the Mac and that kind of same motor. Obviously hadn't had the production like Crosby, but he's been really productive.
And that was my thing with like defensive tackle Josh Farmer out of Florida State, one of my guys. He is a guy that has a very high motor. He was working his ass off at the Senior Bowl. He was working his ass off at the Combine. To me, that's what you want on your defense, especially on your D-line, where there's going to be some times where you get some coverage sacks. There's going to be some times where nobody's open. You got to keep going at the quarterback because the quarterback's just standing there waiting for someone to get open. And that's the thing I love about Karloftis is that he's got that motor, but I think you want to get another guy like that on the interior because Chris Jones really seems like he's the only one that does it whenever they are rushing the passer from the inside. So getting another guy like that who has a high motor, I think will really help out him, O'Minihue, and Karloftis.
And you're going to have decisions to make when you keep drafting guys that are drafted right. Well above their skis. By the way, the text line says, I will arrive at the corner office restaurant martini bar around 6:15. I was like, okay. I don't think they meant the text us, Chris. I think that was I just like seeing these mysterious texts that come in. That's quite funny. But receivers we'll talk about in a minute. But again, they go Rashee Rice. And then this year was Xavier Worthy. I mean, there's some pressure coming on when that's the only, you know, first-round receiver you grabbed, which I'm glad they drafted Worthy last year because there's a lot of talk about offensive line, but again, they're sitting right there at the end of the first round. We didn't like the tackle class last year, a lot like the same this year, except this year it's a lot shorter arms, but you know, you're looking at guys moving to guard and right tackle as well. Xavier Worthy, it took him a while, you know, as far as learning the boundaries and when he's in bounds or out of bounds, but then he became the go-to guy for this football team. And I'll remind people, he did lead Texas in receptions and yards for three straight years. In two of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns. So he's more than just a vertical guy. He was actually a pretty tough guy for his limited size. But to be honest with you, they hit it. And he had to develop because without Brown and Rice, he had to step up, man. He had to step up and fulfill his job as basically the number one receiver for the Chiefs for a while.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say about like the tackle class from, you know, this year to last year. I really do think that there is some talent in this class at tackle. It's just not at the top. Like I don't like any of the first round tackles. I really don't. Not Connerly. I think Ursary's a day two guy. I agree with Thor Nystrom. I think he's a day two guy. I don't think he's, but I've seen some people mock him to the Chiefs at 31. I think that's a reach.
I mean, I would love it if there was a team that valued him as a one. Again, you're not going to have first-round grades except for like this year, probably only 15 guys. You're not going to have first-round grades on him. Will someone be willing? Usually you want a quarterback to be sitting there still at 31 so someone trades back into the first round.
Right.
But I think the Chiefs' trading opportunities will be very, very, very limited. Not only that, there's a lot of teams that just won't take their calls.
And here's the thing. Obviously. If it does, it would have to be for – like, let's say the Chiefs don't want to draft like a Luther Burden. And another team really liked him and said, hey, let's go. That, to me, that's one of the only options that the Chiefs would have to trade back. That's literally it. Or if, let's say that the Chiefs think they can get one of these defensive tackles early in the first that they really like. Let's say they really like, let's say Derek Harmon keeps falling. Let's say they like Darius Alexander out of Toledo a lot. You know, and they decide, we think we can get them a few picks later, and somebody really falls in love.
There's been talk about the Chiefs trading up with the Rams for Harmon if he falls at least
right.
at 26.
Because
the Rams would do business with the Chiefs.
I think they would, and here's the thing is, I would love that. If they moved up to 26 and got Derek Harmon, I'd love that. Or if they got my guy Walter Nolan, I'd love that too.
Except our mock, the Bills took him.
I think the Bills are going to try to. They're going to try to pick whoever the Chiefs.
I don't think the Bills the will do business take. With the Chiefs. Again.
No,
I only said that last year, and then they did.
100%. I think they learned their lesson because Worthy killed them in that playoff game.
The Ravens have learned their lesson.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I would love if they got Harmon, because I think the Bills are going to try to take whoever they think the Chiefs are going to take.
Because let's face it, the Chiefs' rivals helped the Chiefs throughout the draft become a different team.
Yeah.
If it's not for Buffalo, you don't have Mahomes. You don't have Trent McDuffie because they made a little nice little move on the Bills to jump ahead of them because they valued McDuffie as actually a first-round grade, but he started falling in the 20s, but they had a first-round grade
on him.
And they
were so sad when anyway, the Chiefs traded up and grabbed
McDuffie. And they did it again with Worthy, and they got Keon Coleman. So the last 40 time in the combine. But again, this is what they did. I don't think they'd take their call again, but again, I was shocked last year when I found it was Buffalo. I was shocked.
We were sitting there on the stage like, there at the landing.
No way.
And we were like, no. Like we both got the notifications going on our phone on Twitter, and we both saw it. Chiefs have traded up to 27. I was like, no.
Who's it with? Who's it with?
I was like, no way. They just the Bills traded with.
Yeah, then I heard from Tagli and stuff like that.
I told you. We were sitting there, and I was like, it's Xavier Worthy. I told you, I was like, it's Xavier.
They like Worthy. He was still there.
Because the speed. Because I was like, they can definitely get A.D. Mitchell at 32. But Xavier Worthy, I was like, if they're trading up, they really like Xavier Worthy. Because we saw that 40 and we knew it, all of us, me and you, everyone was like, we saw 4-2-1. We were like, Chiefs. That's the first thing we thought. Chiefs.
First thing we thought. 913 asked about Luther Burden. I do want to talk about the serious nature of Luther Burden slipping and falling. Chris and I actually valued him as pretty much our top receiver coming into the season. And Steve Smith had some interesting things to say about Luther Burden, so we'll discuss that next. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Uno, Sarah from Character Concerns. Text line was asking me about
Wyatt Milam.
Wyatt Milam, they asked me. Here's the deal with Wyatt. Shorter arms, 32.
32 and an eighth inch.
He did start at left tackle the last couple of years at West Virginia, but he's probably going to move to guard in the National Football League. But could the Chiefs get, you know, an offensive lineman in the mid rounds? Yes, but this would be more.
He would have to fall really far to be worth taking for them because, yeah, he's probably going to
be. Yeah, this is a guard. Luther Burden. You and I really liked Luther Burden a lot this year, and Teddero McMillan kind of surpassed that as far as our rankings with guys. But I'll never forget, you know, Matt Miller, draft analyst he used to be a Bleacher Report, now he's at ESPN, said this about Luther.
No, I think those people are all crazy. I don't know what they're watching. And I say that jokingly because I've worked with two guys who've done that recently, and I love them. But I don't see it happening. And maybe I'm crazy. I actually think we should draft guys who are good at playing football. And for the past 3 years, that's been Luther Burden. And then everybody's like, oh, well, we don't know how fast he is. So what does he do? He goes to the combine and he reminds you how fast he is. And it's like, okay, I know that he's kind of an introvert. He's kind of a quiet guy. That kind of maybe rubs some people the wrong way. But like, this dude's 21 years old and he's been dominant every time you've given him the football. He has NFL size. He's 6 foot, 206 pounds. He ran a 4.41. He did the position drills, unlike a lot of the other receivers. I don't get it. I have no idea. I've talked to Coach Drinkwitz about it. They're like, neither of us can figure it out. So I'm led to believe it's just, I don't know. I don't know if people just have only watched a handful of games from 2024 and that's who they think he is. But I think he's the best receiver in the draft. So if he's there at 31, it's the easiest decision in football.
See, I'm with Matt Miller on that. I'd definitely go Luther Burden.
I agree with you. I think that Burden would be a guy I would take after Travis Hunter if he wants to be receiver, and then Teddero McMillan. This show is brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now and shoot off large-scale firework displays at jandmdisplays.com.
Get them for the first round. If it comes out, shoot the fireworks off.
Yeah, if they take one of the guys that we...
If you're in a municipality that allows
that we,
it.
Yeah, you got to make sure you do it in a city that allows fireworks. Or at least people are not going to call the cops on you and the cops aren't going to show up.
When the Chiefs made the Super Bowl, I definitely heard them around a lot of places.
Everywhere. Even if it was banned,
they heard them everywhere. They don't really care because I've been in one of the shows. Josh Edwards, CBS, joins us with a short segment here. We'll get back to more Luther Burden and wide receiver discussion. But Josh Edwards, CBS, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Character Concerns Draft Special for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero from Character Concerns, and Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Now it's time to be joined by Josh Edwards from CBS, one of my favorite dudes, one of our, Chris and I's favorite dudes when it comes to the draft. Had him on each and every year. Follow him on Twitter, at EdwardsCBS. Also does some Kentucky football recruiting as well, but he's been putting out mocks like crazy lately. What's up, Josh?
What's going on, fellas? It's good to be back. An annual tradition, as you said, but
annual.
So is the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl. So well, I guess we can talk about the draft.
We didn't say it. You said it.
And picking at the end of the first round, the end of the first round, with relatively nothing really to trade up from someone from the second round into the first round. Now, I know you put out a more recent mock. But you have one mock out with three rounds, which I like that because you go Savon Ravel, Jr. out of East Carolina, the corner, which Chris and I absolutely love Ravel.
Big fan.
And what he can do, especially setting the edge. Just a great story about the guy, you know, working at Amazon and everything else, doing packages before he got his scholarship at East Carolina. But the guy that really I really liked is, because we mocked him as well in round three, you went Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee to the Chiefs. When you did round three for each team in the NFL, but you gave the Chiefs Dylan Sampson, and you know that would be a perfect fit for the Chiefs because it's not only a guy that can catch, he can run, he can block as well. Stud in the SEC conference.
Yeah, no question. And this is coming off a season where they were essentially turning over every rock, diving through the dumpsters to find running backs last year to step in and, you know, just contribute to the roster because, you know, they dealt with injuries at point last season. But, I think that they need a running back, but I've also been burnt by the fact that they took Clyde Edwards-Helaire round one. It didn't work out. So I don't think that they're going to invest that kind of draft capital into the position again. So the middle ground there is to give them somebody on day two. And Dylan Sampson, as you mentioned, is, you know, a dynamic player. He's well-rounded. Somebody that I think can at least give them a longer-term vision at the position that they currently lack right now.
One of the things that's really kind of been – we've seen on a lot of mock drafts is a lot of people are – even though they went out and they got Jalen Moore from the 49ers, a lot of people still mocking left tackle to the Chiefs at 31. Why didn't you mock – tackle to the Chiefs in your recent mocks?
I'm a big believer in letting the money speak for itself, and I think the money that they gave to Jalen Moore just was enough to convince me that
they want to go in a different direction. And, you know, I think guard is potentially a bigger need for them with Kingsley Suamataia moving inside. I think it would be the third position that he has played in 4 years, but a guy with a lot of talent, but certainly a lot of question marks about his capabilities to make that transition as well. So, you know, I could see them going in that direction, but I think just the money that they gave to Jalen Moore in free agency has me feeling that, right or wrong, they're committed to seeing if that's going to work. So I chose not to go down the path of giving them another offensive tackle within the top 100 overall.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because a lot of these guys can be moved. People forget Andy Reid likes longer-armed left tackles. I mean, 34 and a quarter inch is kind of where he sits. It is interesting. One of your latest mocks, you have Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, the cornerback, going to the Chiefs. And again, this is something that's in your wheelhouse. Obviously, you cover Kentucky recruiting and the Kentucky football program. So it is interesting that you had him going to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we mentioned you had Savon Revelle in another mock. But corner has been really prevalent with a lot of your mocks, and especially here with Maxwell in your latest.
Yeah, I would have said that it's not a position that they value early enough to take in round one. And then just the way that this past season played out, after moving on from L'Jarius Sneed, it felt like they realized this needs to be a bigger priority for them than it has been to that point. Obviously, they've got needs on the defensive side of the ball that they could also choose to address in the first round. But I think if you just get a player that you feel comfortable putting out there on the field at the cornerback position, it gives you a little bit of flexibility to move Trent McDuffie around, who is one of the best young cornerbacks in the NFL. Has the flexibility to play inside or outside. I think if you add another player that is capable of allowing you to maximize McDuffie's production, that's an ideal outcome. If you can kind of set it and forget it in the secondary, and then choose, use the rest of your draft assets on the defensive line or pass rushers or however you want to do it, you can do it at that point. So getting a productive player like Maxwell Hairston, who I think he had 6 interceptions over the past 2 years, 2 of 3 of which were returned for touchdowns. I often say that ball skills translate, production translates in terms of interceptions from the collegiate game to the NFL game. So if you've got the potential, you've got the production, there's just a lot to like with Maxwell Hairston.
One of the things that is interesting about Harrison is, like, from a size profile standpoint, he's actually really similar, aside from like the arm length. Harrison's got longer arms than him, but size wise they are very similar, him and McDuffie. How do you think he translates as an outside corner, because the Chiefs, they tend to like the longer, taller corners? How do you think that Maxwell Hairston translates as an outside corner?
That 4.28 speed's pretty nice, though.
The speed is nice. The speed is nice, but you do worry about the size there a little bit.
Without question, yeah. And, you know, just the way that he plays a little bit bigger than his size. The tackling was an issue this past season, but he was dealing with a shoulder injury. So you can kind of make an excuse for him in that regard if you want to. But you're right. You know, if you don't have the size, you have to have the speed to recover if you're going to play on the boundary. And, 4.28 is certainly good enough to correct some of those mistakes that you can make if you're a gambler at the cornerback position. But I think he does play bigger than his size. I think he has good versatility in the way that he was used at Kentucky. He's been used as a zone cornerback predominantly, but he's also been used in man coverage as well. So I think there's just been a little bit more exposure to his game, making the transition to the next level, that gives me a little bit more confidence than I would with some of these other players. With Revelle, he's obviously coming off the torn ACL injury. So he's got some concerns of his own. Benjamin Morrison is a corner in this class that I love, but clearly the medicals have scared some teams off, because we went from seeing him mentioned consistently in the top 15 overall to now he may not even be taken in the first 2 rounds. So I'm thinking it's a little bit more than just your standard injury that he is dealing with, that there's some lingering concerns that teams have of him. But there's, I think, a lot of great options once you get to late round one into day two, because prior to that point, we're going to see 2, maybe 3 cornerbacks taken off the board. And I think once you kind of get into day two is the sweet spot for that position. And Kansas City has three picks there on day two.
And one of the things, too, in your latest mock here, looking at Luther Burden, you had him going 21 to the Seahawks. I like Luther Burden a ton. But some of these guys, if they do slip to 31, and maybe it burdens out there, Derek Harmon you have going very similar to where the Chiefs are picking. I think you had him going, where'd you have Derek Harmon? 27th to the Ravens, and then you had later on, there Walter Nolan, 23rd to the Packers. Again,
yeah,
these are the type of guys, like defensive line is very deep, and could one of these guys fall to the Chiefs? Derek Harmon of Oregon's been very interesting to me because early on looked like second round pick. Then he started moving in the first round, then people thought top 15, then he started slipping in the 20s, and all of a sudden you start seeing him kind of where the Chiefs are drafting. I'm just curious about your thoughts about this defensive line class, like Walter Nolan sitting out there, Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, because these are certainly guys that could help the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's something to kind of a bigger philosophical topic there, and that is this is a deep defensive tackle draft. So if you feel more comfortable in getting a top cornerback in the first round and still being able to get a starter at the defensive tackle position later into day two, that could be part of the consideration for Kansas City. But as you noted, I would expect one of those defensive tackles to be there for Kansas City, whether that's Kenneth Grant, whether it's Walter Nolan, probably not Walter Nolan, whether it's Derek Harmon, one of those guys. I think there's a good chance of that happening. I could see somebody moving back up for one of those wide receivers, Emeka Egbuka being in that conversation as well. And then, one of those defensive tackles fall down the board a little bit. That's been the other spot that I kind of look at for the Chiefs in mock drafts. It's kind of teetered back and forth between cornerback and defensive line ever since they signed Jalen Moore. So I think it's very likely that they do target the defensive side of the ball. And I think one of those defensive tackles would be, home run hits if they were to be available at that stage of the first round.
So let's say you're the Chiefs. Let's say you go corner, whether it be Revelle or Hairston in at 31. Let's say you're day two, you're in that 63 to 66 range. You're looking at a defensive tackle. Who are you going to take there?
So I personally, based on what I've seen on the tape, would take Tennessee's Omar Norman Lott.
My guy.
The way that he gets off the ball, I think, is incredibly impressive. But I have heard some stuff with consistency and some questions that teams have of him. So that's the only reason that he would be available later than that, I think. Some other guys in that range, South Carolina's T.J. Sanders, Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, CJ West from Indiana, Deion Walker from Kentucky, depending upon how the medicals come back on him, I think is still a player that could be taken within that range. There's a lot of great players. Ty Robinson from Nebraska, probably a little too rich for Kansas City at that stage, but somebody that could be in consideration for round three there. So it's an incredibly deep draft. I think when it was all said and done, we had about 20 defensive tackles within our top 100, and that essentially translates to this player has the capability to start. So if you need a defensive tackle, and lots of teams do because it hasn't been very good defensive tackle classes the past couple of years, this is the draft for teams to capitalize on that. And I could see a couple teams honestly double-dipping at the position.
One thing we've seen, too, is final question for you, Josh. We definitely appreciate your time. But the wide receivers, last year we saw 7 go in the first round, tied a record from 2004, the 8 tackles from 2008, then went in the first round, an unusual draft last year. You high on these wide receivers? Because clearly, Matthew Golden's in there, and people are enamored with the speed. Didn't exactly have all the production in Texas. Gunnar Helm, the tight end, actually led that team in receptions. Where do you sit on the wide receivers in round one?
I like them. I don't love them outside of Travis Hunter Jr. And even then, I would like to see what that looks like as a full-time player. I think he's got a little bit more there to give. But in terms of McMillan, in terms of Golden, McMillan is somebody that I've compared to Drake London through this process because he has the size. He's not the fastest, but he does give you something in the short to intermediate. Drake London is you might say he's like a high two, low one type of wide receiver, which I think is the best that teams can honestly hope for in this draft class. I would rather see Matthew Golden kind of be the Batman or the Robin as opposed to a Batman early in his career, just so he can kind of feed off of a player that, you know, can provide a little bit more on the boundary, take some of the pressure off of him. So I think this draft class is more about those complementary skill sets as opposed to truly finding that dominant wide receiver one in this draft class. And, you know, for some teams, the top 10 is going to be too rich. And for other teams, they may just say, hey, this isn't a good draft for us as a whole. Wide receiver is a need for us. Let's just go take the top wide receiver on our board, you know, and kick the can down the road on some other positions.
I know I said last question, but I am curious about one thing because we're going to discuss it later. But Travis Hunter, you had him going number two in your latest mock to Cleveland. I agree with you on that. I think Travis Hunter, to be honest with you, I think he's the best player in this draft. And I think teams are going to regret if they pass on him, because whether he was the corner, the defensive player of the year, the offensive player of the year, the Blitnikoff, the Heisman, everything else, I think teams will regret passing on him. But you had Hunter going instead of Abdul Carter for the Browns at two, and I actually agree with you on that.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth, and honestly, this draft does not maybe have the type of top-end talent that we are accustomed to seeing in the NFL draft. But one thing that the teams at the top of the draft order have done incredibly well this year is keep people on the outside guessing, because a lot of people think that Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. And I still think that is incredibly likely, but they've given no indication, you know, publicly or privately to folks around the league that that's kind of what they're going to do. The Browns at number two overall, they've kind of, you know, led people to believe that it was going to be Shedeur Sanders at one point, Travis Hunter at one point, Abdul Carter at one point. And I just think back to what Andrew Berry, the general manager, has said about Travis Hunter. They see him as a wide receiver, but they honestly think that he is a true two-way type of talent that could be as such in the NFL. And for an organization that is so analytically inclined, having a player that can play both sides of the ball is a supreme analytical asset. So I think that for me, I don't know that I'm going to go back off that pick between now and the draft. I tend to lean Hunter, but at the end of the day, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Abdul Carter either.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Hunter wasn't in Canton. It's all said and done, to be honest with you. I think he's that.
Let's pump the brakes on that. He hasn't even played an NFL game yet. Let's slow down, dog.
Keep in mind, I'm the guy like Mahomes over Watson, too. So you can follow him on Twitter, at EdwardsCBS. Josh Edwards does a fantastic job with the NFL draft, Kentucky recruiting, you name it. Josh, always enjoy having you on. Stay safe out there, my friend. I know that tornadoes are going crazy in the South.
Yeah, same to you all. Thanks again for having me. And, you know, hopefully it's not another year before we talk, but if it is, I'll look forward to that too.
All right, Josh, you take care, my friend. Thank you very much. Anyway, we'll take a timeout. We'll react to some of the stuff that Josh Edwards said. I do want to talk about the Travis Hunter dilemma when we talk general draft coming up. But we got some more fish to fry. We'll react to Josh Edwards next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Sunocero from the Character Concerns. We have one each and every week we put out on Tuesday.
Show is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriorsKC.com. PowellExteriors.com.
Good stuff, Josh Edwards. Love having him on this time of year. I guess we should do it other times of year, too.
But he's great.
Anything you disagree with there? I know you're not wild about the Hairston. Even the 4.28 speed is tempting. But
I'll say this. The speed does make up for the lack of size to a certain extent. But also, it's like he's more of a ball-hawking guy. And you do worry, at least I worry, about him taking too many risks because of that speed. Because there are a lot of guys out there that are really fast at corner, and sometimes they roll the dice a little bit too much. And I don't know if the Chiefs are going to want a guy, especially because they're a press team too. Like, I don't know if as a press team and also...
And Fulton will allow him to move McDuffie more to the slot.
And so, another thing that really concerns me that he brought up is the tackling. The Chiefs, one of the biggest reasons why their defense has been very good over the last few years is because they tackle incredibly well. If you've got a corner on the outside that can't tackle, that's going to be a problem. So that concerns me too. But I will say this. He's an incredible athlete. And if he does shore up that tackling, and if he does play a little bit smarter and not take so many risks with the ball in the air, then, yeah, you could sell me on Maxwell Harrison at 31.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is when you look at it, he did have Dylan Sampson, which I 100% agree with that.
That's your guy.
A three-down back.
You love that guy.
I love some Dylan Sampson. He had him exactly going where we did.
I tried to sell you on DJ getting so hard when we did that mock. You were like, Dylan Sampson.
It's my turn, man.
I was trying hard to sell you on Giddens.
You got that pick, so.
We'll see if Giddens is there. I tried to sell you on Giddens, but no, I
had a good
Sampson.
Combine.
I like Sampson. He did have a good combine.
He's a home run threat that he's moved on throughout the year. He was a guy that took it to the house all the time.
You saw him break a lot of big runs when he was playing in Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan Sampson, DJ Giddens, both of them home run type threats for players. He did have Savon Ravel in one of his latest mocks.
Yeah, the second to last one he did.
No, that's a guy that can tackle. He's got lack of production from the ACL injury this year, but it's a guy that many people think's first round pick.
If I had my pick between Ravel and Harrison, I would take Ravel because I think he fits.
Same here, because he can set the edge and do a lot of things, and he's big.
To me, he's another Legarius Sneed. He's got good size to him. He can tackle. He can press.
And he's fast, and his vertical jumped off the charts the way East Carolina gave him a scholarship.
His vertical is crazy. Like he can get up there. I'll tell you this. If he would have been able to perform at the combine, I think he would have been one of, if not the top corner at the combine. I think he would have had an incredible combine just because the measurables, the size, everything that you see on tape as far as athleticism goes, he has it. Like I was watching a lot of film on him a couple months ago, like almost 3 months ago now. And like everything about him is just like, this is a Chiefs corner right here.
One Jahdae Barron too from Texas. I've seen him actually mock the Chiefs, but
he's not going to be there.
Josh Edwards had him going like 16th.
He's top 20.
But it's a versatile guy. He can play. He's like McDuffie. He does a lot of things like McDuffie. Right. Matter of fact, Edwards compares him to McDuffie because he can play slot. He can play the boundary corner. Can do a lot of different things.
Right. Yeah. When I looked at that, I was just like, man, if it's between Harrison or Ravel, I'm gonna go Ravel there. Just because the size, the skill set, everything I see just to me screams Legarius Sneed.
Well, we've got Matt McMullen from the Chiefs coming up next week on our draft special.
Very excited.
At 6 o'clock, by the way, we'll be back on at 6 o'clock with Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Chris and I back talking draft with you again on a nice Royals day off on Thursday doing that. But big thanks to Thor Nystrom that joined us and Josh Edwards from CBS talking mock. But coming next, I do want to get back into Luther Burden and the dilemma for wide receivers before we start going into some more general draft talk about 8:15. We'll talk more wide receivers next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.